Now I just want to introduce Wu, and it's very interesting. I worked with her last few years. She has made an impact, actually, at least I've seen. Between the COE, she made introduced a new community of practice innovations. And she also made, with the real community of practice, with the people who are working in ELRs or any other case reporting, she made that connection between the COEs and universities and the real communities of practice. I'm sure she'll share her experiences.
Thanks, Sandak. For the connection, you will see the Joe's slides has one cup of coffee. I put this one with the beans there. That's one connection between two COEs and also Pittsburgh COEs. We are a community of innovators. We try to have a more collaboration across the COEs. So what I prepared, maybe repeat for what we already discussed, where I want to emphasize three concepts: innovation, adoption, and partnership. I think we have to go through three domains: researchers, technical innovators, and public health practitioners. If we jointly doing the innovation, we can have timely adoption, got ROI back. So I want to acknowledge the organizations and individuals we work together. University of Utah is a base for the Utah COE, and also UDOH is a, we see ourselves as extension of the University of Utah's COE, Rocky Mountain COE, and actually we are funding a similar time with the COE 1 funding. Then also during the COE's second round funding, we really working more with Joe Marin County, the health department, so I put your name here, and also I put the COI in there. I really feel since we team up 9 months ago, we do feel much more stronger, and hopefully we can sustain beyond any one source funding. Okay, so I want to quickly go over the, if we want to work together, we have to understand each other's discipline, have their structure and the culture. How can we understand each other's culture and make sure we can work together? Then I will use Utah COE as one example, say how can we work together. Then I will briefly touch the community of innovator for in the epidemiology and the public health informatics. We call it a coffee, then challenges ahead. So I really want to see the, in the previously, each of the university researchers and innovators and also early adopters, we are working in isolated space, and we have our different priorities of funding requirement and timetables. Then, like Utah do a lot of homegrown development. So when we develop the innovation separately, if the adopter does not have the direct input, then adopter will not adopt innovations. Then if when you have some cool innovation come out, if you don't have a long-term commitment to support, then adopters, we would not adopt it because we know we cannot sustain on our own. So when we have three group of institution, these plans come together, each have different requirement. So when academia, you get your research published, you have done your job, the dissemination is end. Then when we have a homegrown development, when we get meet our own needs, then it's not our responsibility to disseminate. Like in the more than now 15 years, we started the web querying system from a maternal child health indicator become the IBIS, the indicator. So we have a lot of things can share, but it's not in a department of health responsibility to share, so we don't have time to share. Then if we go innovation by innovation, we don't have a long-term plan, we don't have infrastructure in place, we cannot ongoing communicating, planning, coordinating together, we cannot have great innovation, long-term innovation come out. So this, all those factors really lead, we have a lot of good ideas. Some become innovative product, but really have less get really used. So this graph is come from a book called The Human Side of Technology Innovations by the Ralph Case. They really say we have three domains. Then these three domains, we have different outcome. For science, they come out of knowledge, that's their goal. Then for technology, that's a state of art, new tools. Then for practitioners, we have to use it. So we do have interactions. But if we are not really thinking through this one, organize, manage it efficiently, we won't reach our joint goal, really change the practice, change the health of the people of the nation. Huh? So I made some hypotheses. It's not a scientific study, just based on our experience. So I tried to dramatic the outcome. So I made like we can have a four type of innovation. From the orange, it can be initiated by university only and have a different content. And also whether we collaborated or not, then we can see the adoption result. So if academic initiate their innovation, they usually focus on more theory, framework, and also new technologies as well. But if no collaboration that published, that's end, then they would not have operational adoption. So knowledge is disseminated. So healthcare system, they also have innovations, also they drive public health transformation. But then they will have a new technology, have a new business case. But if not collaborate, then their system will use that, but that's it. Like Intermountain Healthcare is a great system. They have very innovative system. But what they build within their system is stay in their system. It has not been, that's why they contract with GE to disseminate their knowledge. So for public health, I mentioned Utah Department of Health, we have a lot of homegrown product, the new technology and the support new business case. But also when we finished, we use no further dissemination. So, but if we joint have all the partners together, then we can have change disseminate to more practitioners, and also we can have evidence-based knowledge to disseminate. I really feel COE gave us that opportunity, created a new relationship for innovation between researchers and practitioners. I really hope that new model would not be stopped and cannot sustain. Okay, so then I want to move to the Utah COE as an example. We do, during the process, we build the human mindset, share the thinking together. So we identified we do have shared interests and have a shared vision. And we are, how do we, I showed that we have three domains, but we decided we have to share our spaces. Then our process has to be coordinated jointly. Then the infrastructure sharing, resources management, yeah. And specifically, we need from practitioners, we want to see what we get out from there. And we keep need push. Then, of course, we are not expect researchers become our contract work for us. No, but we want to have get something back. So I won't read this one, but we do emphasize the action-oriented research, and we emphasize multidisciplinary and multi-organizational partnership. Also, we are, because I think the mindset are very important, we are talking in dichotomy terms. That's easy for our thinking, like theory versus technology, science versus practice, even innovation versus adoption. We try to say we need to bridge these dichotomies. We need really thinking as a process, as a system. Then also, we need to respect each other's workspace, boundary, and priorities. Then we need to consider adoption when we design the innovation. You cannot work in isolated domain. Yeah. So also for public health, we get a lot of training from working with the researchers. Then actually, initially, we talk different language. I think finally, we can talk the language, can understand each other. So I want to use some examples. That's Utah COE 2 work. It's a visualization tool. It really bring the from the practitioner perspective, we can bring the data into different domain in one screen. But this design has to based on the practitioner's workflow. So we really see a lot of potential in this one. This design to adopt by NAS. So, but the presentation to the Department of Health is more than just NIDS program. A lot of programs really like it to say, okay, if you can make talk with NIDS, we have other system there, we can adopt. So we did lay up the adoption already. And so because they target foodborne case investigation in NIDS, so we public health personnel really do the contextual inquiry, map out foodborne investigation process. Even if it's the first time for them to see on the paper, that's 16 steps. So we did participate in the design, make sure what information needs to be collected and what visualization the practitioner need to see for their decision making. So during the process, we really kind of working out the how we work together in the different stage and the space. So this yellow yellow colored area is really means the public university researchers work and domain. The green area is the practitioners in the Department of Health. So in the initial stage, we see the researchers doing more than with very limited public health input. But in stage two, that I mentioned, the public health doing contextual inquiring, data collection, we do more, have more meeting, really explain the workflow, the process to the researchers. So we are impact researchers. Then when the basic technical requirement defined is move on stage three, the translate research, then into the product, so that researchers, technology develop, innovators working more, try to impact the public health. So far, because you, many of you heard this 5-year cut, only 2 years, we are in earlier stage three. So we expect in the last stage will be a fully dissemination to all different areas, not just the one pilot. But now if the funding end, the technical developer has to move on from public health perspective, we really feel very bad for the knowledge we gained, for the preparation we did. So that really is not only a research project, it's also directly linked to practice. So that's the first one. The second one is the knowledge base. Currently for the, because for public health reporting has so many different requirements, so the Catherine States, it really started this one, focused on ELR reporting. And we also see other potential use for other area of this knowledge base, knowledge management. For her, she's really participant in the CSTE, the position statement to define each disease reporting requirement. And also for our Department of Health, epidemiologist also participant, let her know what each disease, what knowledge, what reporting requirement is. And also we have a beacon community grants. We are, it's a part of the EIR case reporting. We literally leave the requirement reporting piece open because we count on COE delivered. So far, if the COE, this job stopped, we do have a gap in other innovative projects. So this one will have a session on Wednesday, so you can learn more on the details. That's the first two are researchers initiated innovation. So this case three, I want to emphasize one is a health system initiated innovation. This one is done by the COE phase one. So basically they are really, that's before the high tech, the meaningful use, they want to do the case reporting directly from their EMR. So then the draft HL7 standard are proposed, the data validation are done. Currently we are doing the evaluation. So this is really already integrated into current practice. But because it's a intermountain initiative, so the public health is a couple steps behind them. They already finished the work, sent data to us because our NIDS at that time is not up and running. We could not use it. So finally we picked it up now so we can use it. Then this is the baseline, what they did. Now is in operation, they are evaluate the impact. So the last case I want to say is public health and the researchers and also health system and the state HIE jointly initiate a project. It's doing a statewide secure patient directories network. So basically, we have each of us has an MPI, so we try to network it so we can have a really a golden standard trusted MPI people can use. It's more service type of MPI. So because this one is a new business technology framework, that university takes the lead. Then, but we technology-wise, we use a reusable open technology, so the Department of Health and University and also the HIE will use a similar technical architecture, so we'll change the new workflow. So this one, because everyone is a part of the development, we are, I would say, joint development itself is the process of adoption. So this one we are really expect within 12 months we can use it. So then during this process, we began to develop shared infrastructure and resources, and especially the management. So we do have, like myself, I'm funded by university and also by Department of Health. And so we can really have a group of people we can working on those joint projects. And especially for the data sharing agreement and for the firewall, for the security things, over this time, I see the really adopt something is a system issue, system factors really slow down the application adoption. So we are, during this time, we kind of working out this out. I don't think we have, oh. So then the last few slides is I want to emphasize even for when we get a lot of help from the Utah COE, but we do feel from practitioners' perspective, we want peer support across multiple COEs. Then we want to promote cross adoptions. It's not just Utah COE did things, Utah Department of Health adopt, Region Strip did things for Marin County adopt. We really found as communities, so we have more adopters for researchers. Then we also want to have more researchers to adopt our problem to do your innovations. So this is, we had organized the coffee, this community of innovators. We're going to have a business meeting tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. So I really hope you can join us there. Then the last one. So I want to emphasize a few things, my thinking on challenges ahead. I really think we need tie innovation adoption together. We need network. It's not just one-to-one. Then we need to sustain the coffee, our partnership. Maybe we need to find more innovators and also we need to do things with a concrete project. It's not a innovation. I really want to focus on the innovation coordination and the management. Then I'm calling again for Jim. Jim, we need strategic planning to better use innovation funding. CMS has innovation centers. I really think public health need a similar thing, really thinking about that. Then we need to promote collaborative innovations, not just individual innovations. Because healthcare is a system, public health is a system, innovation planning has to be a system. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Yu. So we'll take a few questions, and I also wanted to mention one of the example in this COE was very unique, actually. Some of the informatics students, they worked very actively with CSTE. They are actually worked on the CSTE position statements. That example illustrates engaging the training and the resource capacity in addressing their needs and making them involved in the real public health problems is really a good way to train them and expose them in the right areas. So I think that's one of them. We have seen real benefits happening in the CSTE conference and everything else. So I think just for the sake of time, I mean, we'll take some few questions about this one, and after it, we'll open up the question.
Thanks. Hey, Mike Coletta with NACHO. I just wanted to thank you all for presenting this, and I'm excited about COIFI. And I really wanted to respond to the thing about funding, because I think it's not only CDC, but we need to get creative about who else is interested in helping us through this space. And I'm looking for other partners like Intel and, you know, Robert Wood Johnson and de Beaumont and whoever else is out there that wants to support this type of work, because I think really great things can happen when we have the resources to do it. So, but thank you all for doing that.
Thank you for a very interesting presentation, particularly talking about the human side of this, the interaction. When you talked about IT infrastructure, are you making use of online collaboration tools such as SharePoint? And if you could talk, we find human, the adoption issues very much linked to how people collaborate and whether they're always depending on face-to-face meetings for information exchange. What your experience has been with that?
Yes, for the communication, we do use Project Wiki or Confluence, SharePoint, those type of things to do project management. Then we also have a weekly online meeting to coordinate, and it's really open to everyone you want. Then for the actually development, you will have the subversion track and different software to really share code. And so, yeah, I think we do have all those type of things. And one important thing is we do have UDOH developer working in the university technical environment actually develop the interface piece. So we expect this person will bring back for us to develop the interface web service with anyone university the development, what's their product. And also the all the security issues are solved during those time.
And something really great that Utah does is it broadcasts their webinar, their weekly seminar, roughly weekly, and they broadcast it as a webinar. So I've been able to participate in it, and it just helps a lot keeping the connection, the interactions that help things happen.
Hi, my name is Heather Reedhead. I'm a preventative medicine resident with LA County, family physician before that. So I have two questions. One is in LA County's receiving data from their HIE or wherever they're eventually going to get their meaningful use data. They're still figuring that out. But I was wondering if the two of y'all from the State Departments of Health could talk about any pushback you got in terms of personnel. Like, one of the things that keeps coming up is we can't receive all this data. We are already overloaded with data. That particular issue from the Department of Health. And then the other question was about from the provider end of things. When you have, like you talked about this laboratory reporting system and notifications that go out to providers, are providers actually having to log into a separate system, or does it interact with to populate their EHR or their EMR that they're already using?
Just to answer the second one really quickly, generally they're working on some things to push that data directly into EHR, but generally somebody at the front desk in a physician's office is going to log in the morning to the system and see all the lab results. Often print them out, put them in the physician's file, and the physician never even knows there's some electronic thing going on because they're very paper-oriented anyway. So they log into the system and then deal with it there, and they can look it up again. Regarding there being too much data, there's never too much data. I know I'm an EPI, and I know some EPIs will be worried about that sort of stuff, but it's not a problem. The challenge is making sure you understand the new data and get a real grasp so you know how to work with it well. But I'm not scared of there being too much data. I mean, storage is cheap. We've got powerful tools. It's not something I really worry about. Of course, I don't have to deal with it because I'm not state. I'm county. So the state's receiving the data, and then I'm going to get it from them. So I don't have to deal with a lot of the connection issues that they're going to have to deal with.
Do you guys clean it up then, or do they clean up the data?
I hope they don't clean it up. I want the raw data, and we'll figure out how to clean it up. And we'll work with them to figure it out, but I want to be able to, you know, I always want the raw data.
For states, we do have too much data, then especially for the ERR reporting the message, there are errors, so now they are doing the quality assurance, and also the error found from like 3% to 49%. So, and also there are too many messages coming in for confirmed cases. Our epidemiologists and working with the informatics are developed a tool try to say automatically detect this definitely a positive case can go to NAT and some should be rejected, then all try to narrow the green area for human interaction. Currently too much information is a challenge. We haven't do the result delivery yet.
I know there's one more question, but before everybody leaves, I want to just repeat Wu's invitation that tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. we have this business meeting of the Community of Innovators in Epidemiology and Public Health Informatics. It's a group we're trying to form to bring together practitioners and researchers to have these conversations to help us, as practitioners, let researchers know what our needs are, understand the what goes on the ground, what we need for innovation, and to give the researchers a test bed and a group of early adopters. I thought it was kind of funny, Mike was talking about the Dvorak keyboard, how it never took on. But in this group, you'll find people who use the Dvorak keyboard like me. We are those early adopters. We are those strange people who want to try those new things.
My name is Lee Houston. I'm the project officer for the Centers of Excellence. And excuse me, I want to congratulate you and thank you for all that you've done in a relatively short time. The elephant in the room, and you've referred to it, and also I think Dr. Grannis maybe, time and money, and it looks like that may be running out.